Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. Local News Roundup. Man charged with shoving cake in wife's face, pushing her. Officers reportedly responded to a husband and wife fighting three times within 5 hours, as the final time turned physical when he hit her in the face with a piece of cake and pushed her. Derek Jermaine Anderson, 42, was charged with assault with previous conviction, family violence, a third-degree felony. The reported assault happened 2:17 a.m. Thursday in the 1,000th block of Golder Avenue, an Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. Brenda Kirk reportedly told officers that her husband, Anderson, had gotten into an argument and then he hit her in the face with a piece of cake and then he put his palm over her face to push her head back away from him. Officers saw cake all over inside Kirk's right ear, as well as over Anderson, the affidavit stated. Kirk stated she didn't wish to press charges for simple assault. However, officers had responded two times prior to this incident within the last 5 hours in reference to Kirk and Anderson fighting. Anderson reportedly had three previous convictions for assault on September 15, 2009, December 7th, 2004, and September 30th, 2004, the affidavit detailed. Anderson was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He has one bond totaling $15,000 and was still in custody as of Monday morning, jail records show. Man charged with slapping, choking girlfriend. A 43-year-old man reportedly assaulted his girlfriend by dragging her off their bed and through the house, slapping her in the face and choking her while slamming her head against the floor. Francisco Sanchez Lopez III was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Wednesday. One count of assault, impeded breathing, family violence, a third-degree felony. The reported assault happened around 3 a.m. January 31st in the 1100 block of Harris Avenue, an Odessa Police Department affidavit stated. The complainant, Tammy Leyva, reportedly told dispatch that she ran out of her house as her boyfriend, Lopez, was going to kill her. Leyva had visible cuts, red marks, and injuries to her body. Officers saw signs that a physical disturbance had happened in Leyva's residence as the house was in disarray, the affidavit detailed. Leyva stated that after an argument between her and Lopez, that he dragged her off from the bed and dragged her throughout the house. Leyva reportedly told officers that the assault intensified as Lopez slapped her in the face and choked her while slamming her head against the floor. Leyva stated Lopez was impeding her ability to breathe. Officers saw that Leyva had injuries to her left index finger, abrasions to both knees, and a cut to right foot, red marks on her neck and collarbone, which were consistent with her claims of being assaulted by Lopez, the affidavit stated. Lopez was arrested and transported to the jail. He has one bond totaling $15,000 and was still in custody as of Monday morning, jail records show. Woman charged with pointing shotgun at man. A 32-year-old woman was arrested when she reportedly pointed a shotgun at a man after an argument escalated to assault. Sharika Hearn was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony, and unlawful possession of a firearm by felon, a third-degree felony. The reported assault happened at 11:10 p.m. Wednesday in the unit block of Chimney Hollow an Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. Officers reportedly interviewed two people, Royce Holder and Hearn, at the scene. Holder and Hearn stated they have been living together a few years. Holder stated that he and Hearn got into an argument, which escalated to the point where she grabbed his Remington 20-gauge shotgun and his handgun from his bedroom and pointed the shotgun at him, the affidavit stated. Hearn also made the threatening statement that she was going to end it with them. Hearn was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. She has two bonds totaling $40,000 and was still in custody as of Monday morning, jail records show.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing with a couple of more local stories from the inside pages of Tuesday, April 14th, Odessa American. Affidavit says teen admitted shooting. Charge is second first-degree felony in 2 months. An Odessa Police Department affidavit details a 17-year-old man admitted to shooting and killing a 17-year-old woman on the west side of Odessa. Chavilla Crosby was charged with murder, first-degree felony, and tampering with evidence, a third-degree felony. This is the second time in 2 months that Crosby has been charged with a first-degree felony. He and two other teens were charged with aggravated robbery, a first-degree felony, on February 8th. Crosby was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Monday and has two bonds totaling $165,000, jail records show. The reported fatal shooting happened around 7:07 p.m. Friday at the Sedona Springs Village, located at 920 West University Boulevard, the affidavit stated. Officers were called to the apartment for a medical call. The caller was identified as 17-year-old Ivan Ortiz, and he said there was a dead person inside his apartment. Odessa Fire Rescue and OPD arrived and found a dead woman on the floor in the bedroom, the affidavit detailed. The woman was identified as 17-year-old Jasmine Lozano. Lozano had a gunshot wound. Ortiz reportedly told officers that Crosby was the person who shot Lozano. Ortiz stated that Crosby immediately told him that he needed to leave and get rid of the gun. Ortiz was interviewed by detectives and said Lozano and Crosby were arguing prior to the shooting, the affidavit stated. Ortiz stated that he walked into the bedroom and heard a gunshot and Lozano fell to the ground, and that Crosby had the gun and immediately said that he needed to leave. Crosby also reportedly stated he needed to get rid of the gun somewhere and left the apartment. Ortiz reportedly showed officers a photo from his cell phone that showed both him and Crosby was holding the firearm. Ortiz stated the photo was taken prior to the shooting. Crosby was found and interviewed about the shooting, the affidavit stated. He admitted to being present and shooting Lozano. Crosby also admitted to taking the firearm and getting rid of it by destroying it in pieces. The robbery that Crosby was charged for happened at 12:36 p.m. February 8th at Permian Basin Power Sports, located at 1413 County Road West, an OPD press release detailed. The complainant was reportedly robbed by unknown subjects, and the suspects fired rounds at a customer while fleeing the scene in a gray Jeep. There were no reports of any injuries. Crosby and two 16-year-olds were reportedly found later in the 3700 block of Andrews Highway. Council to consider approval of OFR Station 2 remodel by Michael Merlo. The Odessa City Council will consider multiple actions on Tuesday, including approving Odessa Fire Rescue expenses for demo to add a fifth bedroom at the Southside Station. A City of Odessa agenda packet states that the cost is projected to be $75,382. The cost will include lights, HVAC, ceilings, walls, paint, millwork, and flooring, the packet states. The purchase would be through the IQC, the Gordian Group, a buy board contract vendor. During a council work session April 7th, OFR Chief Saul Ortega said that the remodel would allow OFR to house additional personnel. We currently only have four individuals there because that's all we have room for. This is actually going to give us five bedrooms in the back. We still have the captain's bedroom, so that's a total of six bedrooms, he said. By doing this, he added, it allows the ambulance and the fire truck to run together, and that currently they run either or. This is a squad station, he said. They either run all in the ambulance or all in the fire truck. By doing this, this makes both of those units a little more available. He added that this would also help with the increased run load and that this expense was accepted in the supplemental budget. The squad concept is characterized on the city's OFR website, which states, there are four-person stations that have both a frontline EMS unit and a frontline fire apparatus. Depending on the nature of the call, all four personnel respond on either the fire apparatus or the EMS unit. OFR is also asking to purchase four automatic CPR devices for $79,175. OFR is also asking to replace 33 sets of personal protective equipment that are tested twice a year and expire every 10 years for $78,001. All of these actions on the consent agenda and could be approved in one motion. The City Council meeting will be held at 6 p.m. Tuesday and will be online due to social distancing guidelines. Information regarding the council agenda and how to join the virtual meeting can be found at https://tinyurl.com/RLRHST9. Other action. Consent agenda. Consider approval of City Council emergency meeting minutes, March 30th. Consider approval of City Council work session minutes, April 7th. Consider accepting grant funding from Walmart Community Grants Team and Facility Number 2891 and appropriating the funds to Odessa Fire Rescue Resolution. Consider approving a professional services agreement with KDC Associates, Resolution. Consider accepting state dollars from JRAC for trauma funding due to Odessa Fire Rescue meeting all criteria for trauma dollars for $13,484, Resolution. Consider the purchase for four Lucas automatic CPR devices for $79,175. Consider approving the purchase of NIBIN cartridge acquisition and triage package for the Odessa Police Department, $218,858. Consider the purchase of 33 sets of personal protective equipment for $78,001. Consider the purchase for the remodel of fire station number 2 for $75,382. Public hearing. Open a public hearing to consider approval for the request by Tommy Pugh, owner Odessa Pugh DTP LLC, optionee, John Cowan and Associates, agent for annexation and original zoning of Planned Development Retail 1, PDR 1, on an approximately 3-acre tract in Section 4, Block 41, T2S, TNP, RY Company Survey, Ector County, Texas, southeast of the intersection of Legal Lane and Faudry Road. Ordinance, second and final approval. Ordinance. Consider establishing signalized intersections, speed limits, reduced speed school zones, and prohibited parking zones. First approval. Resolution. consider adoption of Revised Master Thoroughfare Plan, MTP. Appointment of boards. Citizen comments on non-agenda items.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. Obituary. Tommy Mac Job, Big Spring. Tommy Mac Job, 73, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, April 7th, 2020, at the VA nursing home in Big Spring, Texas. Tommy was born on October 13th, 1946, to W.C. Dude and Laura Beatrice McCullough Job in Ballinger, Texas. He served honorably in the United States Air Force, enlisting on July 6, 1966 in Abilene, Texas, and discharged from service on July 6, 1970 in Fairfield, California. He married Janice Lee Woodard on February 24, 1973 in Ballinger, Texas. Tommy lived in Odessa since 1976, working in the oil field, and retired from NOV in 2010. He was a member of Crossroads in Odessa, loved the great outdoors, woodwork, and his grandchildren. He was loved by all. He is preceded in death by his parents, W.C. and Laura Job, several aunts and uncles, and his grandparents. Tommy is survived by his wife, Janice Job of Andrews, Texas, his sons, Sean Job and wife Sarah of Odessa, Texas, and Chase Job and wife Christy of Andrews, Texas, grandchildren Heather, Christian, Caroline, Bridget, Tuff, Lily, and Ethan. He is also survived by his sister Janet and husband Ron Gindelsberger of Fredericksburg, Virginia, brother Charles Job and wife Lisa of El Dorado, Arkansas, his uncle Weldon McCullough and wife Dolores of Llano, Texas, and his aunt Ruth Job of Winters, Texas, as well as several cousins, nieces, and nephews, great-nieces and nephews. Viewing for Tommy will be held all day Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., but due to current executive orders, we are unable to allow more than 10 people, including staff and clergy, in our facility. A private family graveside service will be held for Tommy on Wednesday, April 15th, 2020, at Old Runnels Cemetery. A recording of the graveside service will be available later that day. Services are being provided by Lange Funeral Home in Ballinger, Texas. Death notices. Celia Arredondo, Odessa. Celia Arredondo, 75, of Odessa, died Friday, April 10th, 2020, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Jack Ellsworth Elkins, Lubbock. Jack Ellsworth Elkins, 57, of Odessa, died Friday, April 3rd, 2020, in Lubbock. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. David Daniel Hawkins, Odessa. David Daniel Hawkins, 61, of Odessa, died Friday, April 10th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Jasmine Lozano, Odessa. Jasmine Lozano, 17, of Odessa, died Friday, April 10th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday, April 17th, 2020, at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Maria del Pilar Navarrete Mireles, Odessa. Maria del Pilar Navarrete Mireles, 83, of Odessa, died Saturday, April 11th, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, April 15th, 2020, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery in Peaceful Gardens. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Wendell B. Smith, Odessa. Wendell B. Smith, 78, of Odessa, died Tuesday, March 24th, 2020, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at Bible Baptist Church at a later date. Mrs. Smith will notify everyone about 2 weeks prior, and Aaron Shipman is officiating. Arrangements are by La Paz Purchase Funeral Homes of Odessa. Elida Tavares Willard, Odessa. Elida Tavares Willard, 66, died Monday, April 13th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the education section of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. GHS valedictorian receives $80,000 scholarship to Angelo State, from staff reports. Greenwood High School senior Christian Bell, valedictorian for the class of 2020, has been awarded the inaugural Carr Elite Merit Academic Scholarship worth up to $80,000 to attend Angelo State University beginning this fall. Bell plans a double major in biology and biochemistry and a minor in psychology in preparation to attend medical school. The Carr Elite Merit Academic Scholarship was introduced this year and provides the recipient $20,000 annually for up to 4 years. It is available to a student who meets the scholarship's eligibility requirements and who is also selected as a national merit finalist. The scholarships are funded by a $131 million endowment, one of the largest in the nation, at a regional university. Robert G. Carr and his wife, Nona K. Carr, bequeathed their interests in oil, gas, and other minerals from producing properties in West Texas to create the Carr Foundation. The awards are based on high school grade point average and standardized test scores on the ACT and SAT college entrance exams. Bell scored 1530 out of 1600 on the SAT. Academic achievement isn't limited to just aptitude tests. He told the Reporter Telegram previously that he has a 4.0 grade point average on a 4-point scale. His GPA on a sliding 5-point scale is 5.743. That includes bonus points for advanced placement and college classes. The son of Alan and Deanna Bell has attributed his accomplishments to them. "I know that it's a big reflection on my parents," he told the Reporter Telegram, "because they've always taught me and my sister to work hard. They've always instilled the work ethic in me. So then all the other stuff that seems to kind of come along if I just apply myself." Bell, who was a member of Greenwood's football and powerlifting teams, said graduating first in his class motivates him. He will be the second Bell to do so. His sister, Amanda, also was valedictorian of her class. She is currently in medical school at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. "She's given me a heads up of what's going to happen," Bell said previously. Bell is also one of 4,500 candidates in the U.S. Presidential Scholars Program, which recognizes distinguished high school seniors. Up to 161 finalists are selected for an expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. to receive a medallion at a ceremony sponsored by the White House, according to the Department of Education website. He said in an email that he expects to learn mid-April if he's a semifinalist, and finalists are announced in May. The ceremony is tentatively scheduled for June 16 to 18, according to the website. Midland College Profiles by Rebecca Bell. Alum's passion. Drive leads to success. Call Petra for all things Petro. That's the slogan that Petra Reyes used when she successfully started and managed her own oil and gas service company while she was in college. With the help of her business professor, Michael Crane, at the University of Texas Permian Basin, Reyes formed an LLC and managed to convince oil and gas companies to hire her to get field invoices processed. She had managed to get $2.5 million in outstanding invoices paid in just 3 months. "It's all about knowing people," Reyes said. "I just did a little hard work, went out to the fields, and found the right people." Reyes is no stranger to hard work and getting things done. She was born in Midland. Her father graduated from Midland College's associate degree nursing program. When she was 5, the family moved to La Crosse, Wisconsin. Reyes moved back to Midland when she was a senior in high school to live with her aunt. "The only way I was going to be able to get the education I wanted was to move back to Midland," she said. "I knew that Midland College was a great school with lots of scholarship opportunities. There is nothing like that in La Crosse. So when I was 17, on February 9, 2011, I moved back to the Permian Basin. It was 11 degrees in Wisconsin. I needed flip-flops when I got to Midland." Reyes entered MC in August of that year and received the Bill Pace Cogdell Scholarship. During her time at Midland College, Reyes was an active member of the Student Government Association, a member of the college's dance team, a writer for the campus newspaper, and president of the Cogdell Scholars. She also worked in the daycare at Heroes Fitness and was a private nanny. She transferred to UTPB in 2014 and continued to receive the Bill Pace Cogdell Scholarship. At UTPB, she was a member of the Catholic Student Association, lead anchor for the College News Network, and a member of the Falcon Heat dance team. One of her favorite college activities was working with Enactus, a philanthropy that helps people through entrepreneurial activities. She worked simultaneously at 4 jobs until she launched her own company for processing and paying oil and gas service invoices. The multinational oil field service company, Weatherford, took notice of Reyes's remarkable abilities. When she graduated from UTPB in 2018 with a degree in business marketing and a certification in energy marketing, Weatherford offered Reyes a job. She was soon promoted to the technical sales division. Several oil and gas companies tried to steal Reyes away from Weatherford. "I really enjoyed working at Weatherford, so when other companies offered me positions, I gave them a salary range that was double what I was making at Weatherford." She dissolved her company when she started working for the service company. "Then, one day, Pilot Water Solutions offered me a job that tripled what I was making at Weatherford, plus bonuses." So at 27 years old, Petra Reyes, who was the first person in her family to graduate with a bachelor's degree, became Vice President of Marketing and Business Development Coordinator for Pilot Water Solutions. In her spare time, Reyes enjoys spending time with her 2 Shih Tzu puppies, Cha-Cha and Sister. She also plays golf and loves to dance, especially Spanish and country western. Her favorite places to visit are Los Angeles, Dallas, Miami, and Las Vegas. She also volunteers as a mentor and tutor to a group of 6th grade girls. "I'm so glad I came back to Midland to pursue higher education and start my career," she said. "There's something in the water in Midland. The people have passion and drive, and they inspire those traits in others." MISD launches Progress Monitoring System, from Staff Reports. Midland ISD on Monday rolled out a progress monitoring system that will be placed for students while the district is shut down because of the coronavirus pandemic. The district began Phase 3 of its instructional plan April 6th. The plan includes implementation of at-home learning through Google Classroom, according to a press release. MISD is installing a new non-numerical system to measure academic progress. To receive credit for spring 2020 courses, students must show at least 70% mastery of objectives assigned. Students will receive one of three codes on progress reports. OTM, on track to mastery, indicates the student is on track to obtaining credit for the course because they demonstrated mastery of course learning objectives. NOT, not on track to mastery, indicates the student is at risk of not obtaining credit for the course because they did not demonstrate mastery of course learning objectives. I, incomplete, indicates the student is at risk of not obtaining credit for the course because they were unable to complete the assignments. To be promoted to the next grade level, students must show mastery in their courses. Teachers will use the new progress monitoring system for two evaluation periods, the first 9 weeks of the spring semester, January 7th through March 6th, and the first at-home instruction period, April 6th through May 1st. The district is scheduled to reopen May 4th. However, this date might be extended because of the COVID-19 situation. Students are expected to spend up to 3 hours per day on assignments and formative assessments, according to the release. Students can access Google Classroom and supporting sites at times of their choosing. Parents are encouraged to work with students to create a schedule. Students who do not make progress on assignments or do not participate during at-home instruction will be eligible for summer school or virtual summer school. Students and parents may contact teachers for support, such as tutoring and reteaching. Teachers have scheduled regular office hours, and communication can be made through email and Google Classroom, as well as Dojo and Remind where applicable. The district also has set up a help desk for parents seeking technical assistance, 240-1110. Spring semester important dates. April 6th, first at-home learning instruction period begins. April 13th, rollout of student progress monitoring process begins. April 15th. Teachers will submit a spring semester progress report on the first 9-week period, January 7th through March 6th, in Skyward. The report will use newly introduced codes instead of numerical grades. April 17th, the spring semester 9-week progress report is available to parents and students through Skyward. Parents can request a mailed hard copy using a form found on each campus website. April 27th, last day for teachers to assign new work for the first at-home learning period. May 1st, first at-home learning period ends. May 4th, campuses are scheduled to reopen. May 8th, teachers will submit a progress report in Skyward based on the first at-home learning period. May 13th, the first at-home learning period progress report is available. Midland ISD has opted to not use a pass-fail system because the pass-fail system awards a 70 for the spring 2020 course average, and students would lose the entire semester of weighted grade point averaging, which would significantly lower GPA in most cases. Pass-fail negatively impacts students who would have received an A or B in the course. Students would lose the entire semester of weighted credit because rank is pulled from the semester average, which negatively impacts students taking high school credit courses. and the NCAA Clearinghouse treats a pass as the lowest possible passing grade. This could put our students who are interested in collegiate athletics at a disadvantage compared to students coming from districts that recorded numerical grades. College courses also look at a pass as a C. UTPB Falcon Giving Day benefits students in crisis. By J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis@hearstnp.com. University of Texas Permian Basin will hold its annual Falcon Giving Day on Wednesday, when the university will dedicate 24 hours to online fundraising. UTPB is asking the community to consider giving to the Student Emergency Fund or to the UTPB Food Pantry to help students who have been affected by the coronavirus pandemic. Danielle Davila, annual giving coordinator, said the 24-hour giving campaign looks different because of the coronavirus pandemic. "We were really excited to bring it to UTPB, and it was going to look slightly different without COVID-19. But it is a 24-hour online giving campaign," Davila said. "We highly encourage all constituents, our entire community, to give early. They don't have to wait until the 8th of April to give." The website gives options for where donated funds can go directly. The Student Emergency Fund and UTPB Food Pantry are two funds that UTPB is pushing during this giving day. The University Vice President, Student Development and Leadership, Becky Spurlock, said the Student Emergency Fund is part of a comprehensive effort to support students and their needs while keeping them enrolled. "We know that there has been some fantastic research nationally in the last several years that says for most students, it's a really small amount of money that is given at the right time that makes the difference for a student to be able to remain enrolled. Early studies show that the amounts were typically about $300 or less." She said that most people see college as a carefree, easy time, but that's not the reality for many students at UTPB. "Many of them are struggling just to continue to remain enrolled and to support their families or take care of their own personal needs. When you don't have a lot of resources, if something goes wrong in your life, if your car breaks down, or if you have a really unexpected expense, those can be catastrophic events for a student. The emergency grant program is a way that UTPB is able to step in and help those students so that they can remain enrolled. The program has been available to students in the past and isn't a new initiative during the COVID-19 pandemic. Staff members are reviewing emergency fund requests that are submitted online, or students can also speak to a staff member. We have a committee that reviews that fund requests, and then they go to work, figuring out what specific resources that student may need. UTPB staff has learned that students might not need money from the Student Emergency Fund. Instead, they can be connected to an existing resource. One of those resources, for example, is our food pantry on campus, which we are so proud of. We have launched a wonderful partnership with the West Texas Food Bank that is allowing us to have more fresh foods, more options that can serve our students and their families. Many of our students are parents and they have their own family. Other times, students might need specific things to help them. For example, some of our students needed help. They didn't have a way to transition back to a home environment. We will work with them on an individual basis. Sometimes that involves connecting them to a specific gift card. Sometimes it involves supporting them through their student account, and so we handle those on a case-by-case basis. UTPB has had more than 100 requests in 2 weeks during the COVID-19 pandemic. The UTPB food pantry is available to the campus community on an appointment basis during this time. We have also activated a network to help connect students who've returned to their homes outside of this community. find food banks in their areas if they need help, and support as well. Davila said the gift size doesn't matter because it will result in a larger fund in the end. Any size of a gift really matters, whether it's $5, $10, $500, or $5,000, she said. It's okay that it's a small gift. Any support helps, and then it quickly and easily adds up. Here's an article by Kay Kreitz, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Permian Basin. Bigs, littles, keep in contact during social distancing. This may well be a pivotal moment in the lives of children in the Permian Basin, the moment they will remember for the rest of their lives, and not just because school was canceled. The Permian Basin has suffered a triple blow: coronavirus, crashing oil prices, and the struggling stock market. The result has been layoffs, reduced hours, worries about becoming ill, and stress, lots of stress. Children often experience stress and anxiety as much as adults, and it can be a frightening experience because of the feeling of helplessness. Studies have shown that prolonged stress in children can bring depression, impaired behavioral and emotional development, and future medical issues, including high blood pressure, heart disease, obesity, and diabetes, all of which can affect our communities for decades. Many children in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program are some of our most vulnerable, coming from low-income homes, single-parent homes, or homes where a parent or family member has been imprisoned. Having a trusted friend to confide in can help relieve that stress. Yet, just when they need support and guidance the most, COVID-19 has closed the door to in-person visits from their bigs. How does a mentoring program based on socialization function in a time of social distancing? Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and it's Bigs for short for brothers, Big Brothers or Big Sisters, our volunteers, are solving that problem with a variety of old-school solutions and modern technology. As an organization, we've been awed by our volunteers' dedication, especially since they too may be feeling stressed and overwhelmed. Big Brother Stan is one of those volunteers who has led the way. He was matched with Rito in the Big Brothers Big Sisters school-based program 4 months ago. They met once a week at the school for an hour to talk, play games, read, and just connect. But when school closed, their meetings were put on hold. Because of the nature of the school-based program, Biggs and their little ones do not communicate outside the school. But COVID-19 didn't stop Stan. He is writing letters to Rito and having Big Brothers Big Sisters forward them. Biggs and Littles in the community-based program are using technology to stay in touch, calling, texting, or using video conferencing platforms such as FaceTime or Skype. On top of stress from the virus and the loss of jobs, parents are struggling to homeschool their children, a new experience for many. Big Brothers Big Sisters is doing its part by assembling STEAM activity bags to provide fun, easy learning activities with all required supplies to engage the children and provide a little relief to the parents. The activities also will provide opportunities for conversation between the Bigs and the Littles. How can you not have a great talk about whether they were able to actually bend water? Lastly, Big Brothers Big Sisters has adapted procedures to allow for virtual enrollment of volunteers and children. We can still enroll both children and volunteers, get them through the process, and match them through video conferencing platforms so that when we're no longer required to practice social distancing, our matches will be ready to hit the great outdoors again. Holy Cross went digital Monday after spring break, from staff reports. Holy Cross Catholic High School students have been face-to-face with their teachers via the internet since the Monday after spring break. We were notified by our superintendent when the pandemic hit that campuses would have to close or provide online coursework, head of school Carolyn Gonzalez said in a press release. We immediately formed a plan and executed the Monday after spring break. We made chapel a priority to ensure that our students and staff spend their first period in prayer and learning about our faith. Holy Cross Catholic High School is using Google Classroom, Zoom, Skype, and many other free online materials offered to schools. The campus minister has provided many online resources to ensure that students are experiencing Mass weekly and staying connected to their Catholic community, according to the release. We are deeply appreciative of the educational community that stepped forward around the nation and provided the tools necessary to make this a successful learning environment for our students and teachers, said Gonzalez. Holy Cross Catholic High School students and staff had used the technology in February when schools were closed because of snow and ice. We were able to test our online capabilities during the snow days that occurred earlier this year. The technology worked fine, and our staff and students loved the online experience. Students completed their first week remotely, with students learning about viruses and their impact on communities, as well as all other regularly scheduled courses, including theology. After 1 week of classes, the schedule was shifted to allow instruction throughout the school day, Monday through Thursday, and advisory time on Fridays with the teachers. Although staff and students miss the social aspects of school life, they will be able to continue their coursework for as long as needed to ensure the health of our community. Our students have adapted well to the new learning methods, and our teachers are absolute rock stars. I am thinking these online classes are a wake-up call and perhaps the future of Mass education, said Estrada. We are still learning, just differently. Holy Cross High School is located at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Odessa until a campus is built in Northwest Midland. KMB Midland ISD kickoff art projects. From staff reports. Keep Midland Beautiful, in collaboration with Midland ISD, is kicking off two projects, recycling art and repurposing, using items found in and around students' homes. Repurposing is taking items that had previously served one purpose and using them for a completely new purpose. Any type of material can be used for repurposing, according to press release from KMB. Examples of repurposing can be found online, but the best ideas often come from a student's own creativity, collaborations on social media, or a family's conversation about what to make out of items they have at home, according to the release. Recycling art can be created by taking items that can be recycled, such as cardboard, papers, plastics, or glass, and turning them into a piece of artwork. These projects are for individuals or a family. To enter the competition, go to keepmidlandbeautiful.org. Students should send a photo of the objects to be used and a picture of the final project. The photos may be added on Instagram or MISD's Facebook page with the hashtag MISDEEnvironmentalproject. Or hashtag KMBE Environmental Project. The social media competition will run until Earth Day, April 22nd. The best repurposed project and recycle art project will be chosen by the Keep Midland Beautiful staff and a group of MISD science teachers and displayed on the KMB website at keepmidlandbeautiful.org and all social media. Carver Center students donate to Family Promise, by J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis@hurstnp.com. Carver Center students donated $566 to Family Promise from their Community Service Interest Investigation class. Tom Miller, executive director of Family Promise, said that the donation was out of the blue during this time. There'll be general operating funds for our families, Miller said. This is a great crisis for everybody across the U.S., and right now our families are struggling in the sense that they are homeless and somewhat fearing of what the future holds. Miller said donations currently are down from individuals because of the uncertainty of the future. He said the organization's annual clay shoot, planned for June 12th, most likely will be canceled. The fundraiser usually brings in $50,000 to $70,000 in funds. Charlie Romero, a fourth-grade math teacher at Carver Center, said she and the students knew they wanted to do a fundraiser for the community, but had not decided where the money would go when they started. Romero and fifth-grade teacher Casey Cottrell said, together, a list of charities and their missions. The kids choose based off how they provide for our community, she said. Students also get to choose which activities to do during community service interest investigation class, which is an hour on Fridays. They can pick from robotics, community service, STEM, and other choices. The kids who choose community service are wanting to do extra for the people who live around them. A few things that we've done are just a kind of serve our school and put sweet notes for kids to read and uplift others around. Romero said they started the class in this year by making bracelets for kids at the hospital, but that was put on hold. Students raised funds for Family Promise by making Crush Grams for Valentine's Day. Students could buy a little can of Crush soda, and we wrapped them in cellophane with notes the students wrote. We delivered them to the classrooms. Romero said she gets a sense of camaraderie and excitement from kids when they are doing fundraising projects. She said they had plans to do other fundraising projects before school was canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic. We got a sweet letter from Family Promise after we sent the check, Romero said, but it was a complete surprise to them. Miller was a principal at Milam Elementary for 18 years before taking his position at Family Promise. I love to see the youth get involved in philanthropy or philanthropic activities in our community, and especially giving to nonprofits that assist families and children, Miller said. It's children giving to children. To me, that's a remarkable act of love for our community.
Meds are interfering with love life. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a male, 67 years old, and I am afflicted with urinary problems, having to urinate several times a night, burning after urinating, and the need to urinate often in small amounts only. My doctor prescribed Tamsulosin, 0.4 milligrams. For more than a year, I have taken one capsule every night, 30 minutes after supper. After a few months of taking this capsule, I now produce no sperm whatsoever. It's really affecting my sex life with my wife. Moreover, it's a very unpleasant feeling. If I stop taking Tamsulosin, will my no sperm problem go away? GR. Answer. Before I answer, let me explain what is happening. Male sexual function is controlled by the autonomic nervous system, which has two divisions, parasympathetic and sympathetic. The parasympathetic controls erection, and the sympathetic controls ejaculation. Tamsulosin works as a sympathetic blocker. It relaxes special muscles in the prostate, which can compress the flow of urine through the prostate. Unfortunately, a side effect is a reduction or even complete prevention of ejaculation. 4% of men on the low dose and 18% on the high dose had this problem in a short study. A longer study found that 30% of men had this issue. A study of volunteers showed 90% of men had a measurable loss of volume while taking Tamsulosin. Despite prescribing this medication hundreds of times, I have never had a man complain of this problem, which tells me that many men either are not mentioning it or are not taking the medication. Fortunately, the side effect does go away after stopping the medication. A related medicine, alfuzosin, uroxetral, does not have this side effect. You might ask your doctor about changing. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
And here's Dear Abby for Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. Mom tires of chauffeuring daughter without a license. Dear Abby, my 20-year-old daughter refuses to get her driver's license. She took the learner's permit test 4 times when she was 16, failed it each time, and gave up. She goes to college online and has a job at a local store. Next week, she is going to be promoted to assistant manager. I don't work, but I'm tired of driving her around. We live in a small town that has no public transportation. Every time her father or I mention getting her license, she says, "Don't start," or, "I don't want to talk about it." She doesn't date, but is very involved in church. She has her own phone, which she pays for, and also pays for gas. She's responsible in every way. She just refuses to drive. Help. Tired of being a taxi mom. Dear Tired, your 20-year-old daughter is a smart cookie. Unlike you, she doesn't have to worry about car payments, insurance premiums, or the cost of parking. As long as you agree to chauffeur her around, she isn't going to provide her own transportation. I suggest you encourage her to get a bicycle. And after 4 years, it's time for her to take the driver's test again. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been married 9 years and have 2 major issues in our marriage. 1, he feels I spend too much money. 2, I think he spends too much time away from home doing things he wants to do. We have fallen into this cycle of him being away from home, so I spend money, which results in him spending more time away from home. Should we have separate bank accounts? Should I make him cancel some of his weekly activities? Struggling in St. Louis. Dear Struggling, separate bank accounts might be a good idea, provided you don't use yours to mask the fact that you're spending more than you should. As to making your husband cancel some of his weekly activities, I don't think it would work for your benefit. A better solution, investment, would be for the two of you to talk this out in the office of a licensed marriage and family counselor, because it appears you're spending as a way to punish your husband for his absence, which is not only not constructive, but is destructive. Doing activities outside the home together might also be helpful. Dear Abby, my former spouse, the father of our adult daughters, recently passed. He will be cremated. Although he did not remarry, I did. Our youngest daughter has made all the burial arrangements. My ex and I did not communicate much after the divorce. What is my role as mother? Do I send flowers, greet attendees as if we were still together? We were married almost 30 years. What should I do? Dear, what should I do? Your role as the mother is to support your daughters and the rest of the family. If your daughters want you there, be there for them. Greet anyone you know politely and thank them for being there for the family. If you wish to send flowers, by all means do so. But beyond that, nothing more is required of you.
Jacqueline Bigger's Stars. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Aries and a moon in Capricorn. Happy birthday for Tuesday, April 14, 2020. You change society with your persuasive and powerful charm. So this year, do not be afraid to take chances. Your career situation will change. Adapt to current worldwide economic trends. Being well-rounded helps you reach your goals. If single, love has sparkle but brings surprises by year's end. If attached, a long-term partnership might run its course. If this happens, a deep healing comes through release. Sagittarius loves to be free. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. You will be juggling several projects and appointments simultaneously. Confirm plans with others to avoid confusion, and much will be accomplished. A competitive mood is present. Listen to the suggestions of elderly relatives. Compromise will spell success. Tonight, be with family. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Athletic activities indoors may develop into a genuine passion. A new team quality will develop with those with whom you are isolated. Take some time to revel in the peace and quiet of nature. Release old anger and anguish. Tonight, watch a fascinating new documentary. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Learn the art of pranayama, or healing yoga breathing, to further promote wellness and longevity. Teach the children this too. Fresh air, the wind, and breath can assume a new importance in the quest for perfect health. Tonight, go over shared resources with your partner. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Partnerships add sparkle and surprises today. This promises interesting new possibilities. Initiate a discussion about compatibility to reach out to an attractive new prospect. Commitment goes many steps further. Begin to keep a dream journal. Tonight, special date night. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. The relationship between a positive state of mind, faith, and dedication to your health will be very apparent today. You wish to communicate this to your household, and you do so successfully. A child may be volatile. Spend quality time together. Tonight, extra nutritious dinner. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today you have a complicated sensation of applying the gas and the brakes at the same time. You want to enjoy yourself, but the current situation is so challenging. Stay flexible, and this can be an enjoyable day. Tonight, catch up with your loved ones. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. You've always had an artistic bent. Today, creative expression can be a catalyst for spiritual awakening. Explore different forms of sacred symbols to attain closer attunement with the divine mysteries. You will hear from an elderly relative. Tonight, get to bed early. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. A residential or career move may be in progress. Be flexible. Help comes from those in positions of power and authority. You assimilate new ideas and make wise decisions. Make sure you talk it over with siblings, neighbors. Tonight, play and communicate online. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 2 stars. In some respect, today brings a gambler's aspect. Keep credit cards in check and exercise great care in speculation. Plan carefully for the payment of taxes, insurance policies, and in meeting financial obligations to others. Tonight, seek ways to make the most of hidden assets. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. You seek identification with a larger collective today. Your personal achievement leads to the establishment of new civilization while turning away from shallowness. You feel empowered, and this leads to happiness. Tonight, there are a couple of admirers from which to choose. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Your spiritual expression takes a new direction today. You might ask friends about their beliefs, and you might enjoy honoring their holy days. Reread emails before sending them, and keep your tone pleasant in conversations. Tonight, an argument might ensue. Stay out of it. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. A new maturity beneficially impacts your approach to your friendships. You grow weary of those who play games. Mutual accomplishments will have more appeal. An especially comforting, calming type of love situation takes over the day. Tonight, catch up on a party line. Born today, educator Ann Sullivan, 1866, singer Loretta Lynn, 1932, policeman Frank Serpico, 1936.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.